Please open your Bibles once again to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. This is where the ministry will be taken from. Now read verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? This section of God's word, as was read in the scripture reading, the context is a funeral, if you will. I'm sure that most of us have been to a funeral. Maybe some of us have not. And the Bible says that it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting, because the living will take it to heart. In other words, it's better to go to a funeral than to go to a party. Because at a funeral, we're reminded of what really matters. We're reminded of what is important in life. It puts things in perspective. But here in this section of God's word, I want to tell you that this section here in John 11 highlights the fact of what our hope is. It highlights the fact of what our comfort is, and it is a beautiful display of the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Good news. And people in the world regard, they have their own gospels. And good news to them is having more money. Good news to them is maybe having the right person in their estimation who is in political office. Good news to them is buying a home, getting married, having a child, being popular, being respected, being in good health, losing weight, gaining weight, whatever the concern is that people have, that's their gospel. That is, that's the thing that they regard as good news. But I tell you, those things are all vanity. It's like chasing after the, or trying to grasp the wind. You ever try to hold the wind in your hand? You can't hold the wind. It's impossible. It comes and goes. It's vanity. And so when people in the world are chasing after this thing, or they're looking after this other item, or they're striving to achieve this, or they're striving to become that, what they think in their heads that this thing is going to bring in their lives, it's vanity. Because there is nothing that this world has to offer that satisfies the longing of the soul. Death. No one wants to die. We have products that can make you live longer. The dreaded C word, cancer. We go and we see the doctors and we get surgery and treatment and we want to prolong our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning that. Because God made us in his own image. We are We are creatures to live and not die, so no one wants to die. And there are those who are striving to find a cure for death. Is there a cure for death or aging? And I've spoken to a doctor where some regard it as a form of sickness, the fact that you're aged. And somehow, if someone can come up with some medication that can stop the aging process, then we can live a little bit longer, maybe beyond 100 and so forth. But that being the case, there is this in our heart. The Bible says God has set eternity in our hearts. There is his desire and longing to live forever. Excuse me. And we will live forever. It's just a matter of where after we die. But here in this portion of John chapter 11, here is a word of hope, of comfort. Here is the gospel. And so children, young people, older people, all that are under the sound of my voice, I urge you to take these words to heart. I urge you at the beginning of the sermon to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we're going to look at Jesus, what he did, what he said, and here we need to respond to Jesus. As this scripture is being opened up before you, this is not the preacher's word. This is not our word. This is God's word. And all that we're doing is we're seeking to proclaim, we are seeking to set forth what God has said in his word. And when we do this, God is speaking through his word. So God is speaking to you this morning. And I urge you to believe, to listen, and believe with all your heart. Because it doesn't get any better than this. You walk out of this door today an unbeliever. There's no guarantee you will see tomorrow. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. That's the truth. Or you walk out this door today, who knows whether you would have hardened your heart a little bit more. I'm not ready now. I'm not really serious about God. You know, when you put off salvation, it's a hardening of your heart. It's like you have calluses. You know, when the skin gets tough and you've worked a lot with your hand, there's calluses on your hand or calluses on your feet when you walked on hard ground, and the softness of your skin and now becomes callous and hard, and therefore you can poke it and it doesn't hurt. And you know what happens? When you hear the gospel so much, your heart can develop a callus over it, so that you no longer feel conviction. You no longer have a sense of fear and dread of hell and of your sin. And you become hardened and insensitive and dull of hearing the word of God. And if you're in that state, that is a fearful state to be in. And if you continue in that state, and if you don't turn to the Lord, you will harden your heart so much so that you would become comfortable in your life of sin and a life of living apart from God. And that life lived in that way will lead you to the place of hell and of judgment in the last day. If your heart is tender, do not harden your heart by putting off salvation. Do not harden your heart by not embracing the Lord Jesus Christ today. Is your heart tender? Do you have some sensitivity about what you hear from the Word of God? Then if so, embrace Jesus. Believe him. Trust him. Go all in for Jesus, or go all out. Give your life, give your soul and your all to Jesus. Because Jesus is the only savior of sin. And what we learn here, Jesus is the one who delivers you from the fear of death. And so here in this funeral sermon, the setting, as we read, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were Jesus' friends. Jesus often would go to their house in Bethany. And here, Lazarus, their friend, is dead. And as we read earlier in John chapter 11, Jesus delayed deliberately. Look at verse 14 in John 11. Actually, verse 12. The disciples therefore said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought he spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus therefore said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. You see, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Jesus already knows that he's going to raise him from the dead. But Jesus delayed. And he wanted to be no question in anyone's mind that Lazarus was truly dead. Because if he raised him from the dead right away, then some could say, well, he wasn't really dead. He was in a coma, or he had some other condition. And then Jesus spoke, and he really didn't raise him from the dead. But here it is demonstrated and proven as a fact, the man was dead, so that upon his arrival, he is buried in a tomb. He has been dead for 4 days. There is indisputable fact that Lazarus was truly dead. And Jesus wanted that to be so. Why? To the intent that you may believe. Now, he was speaking to his disciples. Remember, a disciple is a learner. Jesus is training his disciples and preparing them to be apostles, to send forth this gospel into all the world. And so as Jesus was with them on earth, he is training them and preparing them. And so in this situation, he wanted them to see, witness this resurrection from the dead. So then, as he comes, as we read in the scripture, we won't read the entirety, but we'll look at certain sections. We know that Martha came to Jesus. Verse 20, Martha therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. See, Martha knew Jesus. She knew what Jesus can do. She believed in Jesus with all her heart. She knew exactly who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. And that's why she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Jesus tells her that your brother shall rise again. And then notice Martha's confession. And this ought to be the confession of every Christian. This is what every Christian believe. If you're a Christian this morning, you believe this. If you don't believe this, you're not a Christian. This confession is what every Christian believes. And what did Martha say in verse 24? Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha knew her theology. It's clear that Martha spent time with Jesus. It is clear that Martha was a friend of Jesus because she believed with all of her heart. She said, I know there was no doubt in Martha's mind that her brother would rise again. But she just did not expect that it would be today. She said, in the last day, at the last day, in the resurrection, he shall rise again. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die. And Jesus said, do you believe this? And she said unto him, yes, Lord. And this is another thing that every Christian believes. If you don't believe this, you're not a Christian. She said to him, verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he that comes into the world." And in the previous hour, I highlighted the fact who Jesus is. And here these words beautifully testify to the identity of Jesus. The man Jesus is the Christ. The man Jesus is also God. The man Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He is the one who comes into the world. He existed in heaven through all eternity before God made the world. And Martha said, "Lord, I know who you are. Yes, Lord, I do believe. I believe that you are the Christ, that is the anointed one. You are the Messiah. And I believe that you're not only the Messiah, the anointed one, but that you are the Son of God, that you are God in the flesh, that you are God's Son. And I believe and I know that you are the one who has come into the world." And as Jesus said to Martha, "I say to you, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Believest thou this?" Now let's look at these words a little more closely here. Martha said, "I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection." What do those words mean? I am the resurrection and the life, but I am the resurrection. In these words, Jesus sets forth the fact that he has the authority and he has the power to raise people from the dead. But not only to raise people from the dead, in the last day, he is the one to whom all the dead will hear his voice. Turn with me to John chapter 5. Let's go back a few chapters to chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're going to let the Bible speak. We're going to let God speak to us today. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour comes and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so he gave the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which they that are in the tomb," that are in the graves, "shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." Now these words of Jesus here, he is the Son of God. He's Son of God and Son of Man. And he said, the hour is coming when all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice. You drive by a cemetery. You look at the tombstones. Just think about whenever you go to a cemetery, bring to your mind these words of Jesus. When you look at all the markings and all of the graves, and you see all of the remains where the dead has been laid down. The truth is that everyone in the grave is going to hear the voice of the Son of God on the last day. They're going to hear his voice, and they are going to come forth out of the grave. Now, you may say, oh, but that's hard to believe. I'm not sure if I really believe that. And the schools would tell you, you can't believe in supernatural things. You can't, that's a bit fanatical. That's a bit extreme. You can't really take seriously everything you read in the Bible. You know, it has errors, da 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 da, and on and on and on it goes. You see, that's nothing but the devil using men to seek to discredit the Word of God, to blind people, to keep you in unbelief and in darkness. The truth of the matter is that the dead, all that are in the grave, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the hour is coming. And Jesus says in verse 29, he said, marvel not. Don't, for those who are doubting, Jesus says, don't be amazed, don't marvel, don't doubt, don't question this, because the hour is coming in which they that are in the tombs will hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. So it's believer and unbeliever. It is the Christian and the non-Christian. Both will hear the voice of the Son of God on the last day. And believer and unbeliever that have died and have been buried, both will rise again from the dead. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew 25. Here we're going to get a little picture of Judgment Day. When all who are in the tombs, when they would have heard the voice of the Son of God, they will be summoned before him in that day. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, speaking of the last day, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. Think about that for a moment. When the Son of Man come in his glory. You see, the last hour we looked at one of the passages where Jesus was transfigured before the disciples. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was praying and his countenance was altered and there was brightness of his face, bright as the sun, that you could not look upon his face, and his clothes were so bright, was so lightened, so bright as light. And there the disciples saw, they got a little glimpse of his glory. It's like he pulled back the veil. It's like, you know, when you're covered up, you know, we wore masks, and I'm not criticizing anybody who wearing a mask, all right? I'm not condemning you. The only point is that once the mask is off, you see the person's face. That's the only point that I'm making, all right? I'm not saying, good, wear the mask if you feel comfortable. I don't criticize you for that. But the point is that Jesus, as he was on the earth as a man, what did people see? They just saw a Jewish man, a teacher. And those who hated him, even though he did all these miracles and signs, they wanted to kill him. But when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? The disciples saw a little glimpse of his glory. Because, yes, he is a man, but he is also God. And they saw something of his deity, something of his godhood was revealed to him on that Mount of Transfiguration They saw something of his glory, and they could not look upon it. And so Peter said, we need to build tents and tabernacles, and because they could not look upon his glory. And you see, when Jesus come in that day, he's going to come with all his glory. And there will be the angels with him. And Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1 says, he will be coming with flaming fire. His angels with flaming fire. And he's going to come on the clouds, and every eye shall see him. When he left this world, or he did ascend up into heaven, but before that he was hung upon the cross. He died a horrible, humiliating death. And he was laid in the tomb. And he rose again from the dead, himself, the resurrection. Remember, he says, I am the resurrection. He himself would rise from the dead. But when he comes back again, he's coming back to judge. He's coming to completely bring this salvation and all of its glory to his people. And he's going to come in all of his glory and all the angels with him. And then he's going to be seated on the throne of his glory. And what do we read in verse 32? And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And so there he is. All that are in the tombs are going to hear his voice. And they're going to come forth from the grave. They will be summoned to appear before God. You ever had a summons to appear in court? Maybe you had a parking ticket, and you had a summons to appear to pay the fine or to contest that you're not guilty and stand before the judge. And so you get this summons that you must appear to court, or you get a summons that you must appear for jury duty. You're not committed a crime, but you have a summons that had come into the mail. You need to report to the court to be considered, to be selected as a juror. So in that day, the whole human race is going to be summoned before the Son of God. And there they will sit before him, and he will separate them, not by skin color, not by accent, but he's going to separate them whether they are believers or not believers, whether they are his sheep or whether they are goats. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And there they will be there before him. And he says to the sheep, he says, look at verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To those on the right hand, to those who believe, to those who trust in Jesus, to the dead who died in the Lord, to those, he will say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Come. And to those on his left hand, verse 41, because he says it a few different ways. Verse 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And those are terrifying words to hear. He says, depart from me. Do you want Jesus to say to you, depart from me? Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting punishment, into into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels, to go where the devil is going to be. To go where the devil and his angels. Jesus cast out demons. And on one occasion, when he come to cast out demons, they say, "We know who you are. Have you come to torment us before the time?" They know that the day is coming when they will be tormented forever in hell. "We know who you are, Jesus. Have you come to torment us before the time? Send us into the swine." And Jesus says, "Depart." And so he cast out demons out of that man that had a legion of demons, and he sent them into the swine, and they went into the swine, and the swine went down the hill into the lake and drowned. You see, the demons, they know who Jesus is. And Jesus says, "If I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God among you. Then is the kingdom of God here," Matthew chapter 12. And you see, the devil and his angels will be cast into this eternal fire in that day. And Jesus will cast them out. He did it on earth. And what he did on earth was simply a token, was simply an illustration. It was simply a preview, right? You want to see a movie and you look at the trailer and you look at the highlights of the movie, and it shows this scene and that scene and the other scene, and you have all of these highlights, and he says, "Come see this movie." You say, "Oh boy, I want to go check this out. It looks very interesting," because you see all of these highlights. And you see Jesus' ministry on earth when he was healing people, raising from the dead, those activities of healing and raising from the dead and preaching the gospel were highlights of what he's going to do in the day of judgment, as he casts out demons, as he heals people, the man with the withered hand, and what we read here in the Gospel of John, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Again, this is a highlight of what he's going to do in that last day. And so here, this is what it's going to be like. All that are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will be summoned to appear before the judgment seat of God. And the one sitting in that seat to judge will be Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And there he will do a separation of the sheep from the goat, the believers and those who refuse to repent. And there the believers will be welcome to come into the glories of heaven and inherit the kingdom which the Father has prepared before the foundation of the world. And they will hear from the Son of God, "Come, you bless." And my desire this morning is that everyone here will hear those words. That's my desire. I can't save you. I cannot persuade you. I cannot change your heart. But God can. And that's my confidence. And that's our hope. And for you today, why I take the time to explain this, I want you to hear Jesus say to you, "Come, you blessed." Young children, older people, all of you who are listening on the over the lines, I want you to hear these words of Jesus, "Come, you blessed." You will only hear these words if you believe upon Jesus, if you embrace Jesus, if you live for Jesus, if you serve Jesus, and you are not ashamed of Jesus, because Jesus says, "Whosoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this crooked and perverse generation, I will be ashamed of him before my Father." And if Jesus is ashamed of you before the Father, he's going to send you away to that eternal punishment, because that shame is showing that you don't believe. That shame is showing that you don't love him. That shame will show that you're not serving him. Because those who believe will not be put to shame, And if you do believe, you will serve him. If you do believe, you will love him. If you do believe, you will not be ashamed of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior. And so here we have a preview of the day of judgment. Now let's turn back to John chapter 11. Back to John chapter 11. Let's look at these words again. Jesus said, and now Martha said, I know, verse 24, I know that he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. So we looked at a few passages that speaks to the fact of the resurrection on the last day. Then Jesus says, I am, Martha. Martha, there's something else. And Martha had to learn something she hadn't known. She knew Jesus. She knew her theology. She was a true believer. But there was things that she yet had need to learn. She yet need to learn. And Jesus said, Martha, I'm going to show you something else. I want you to learn something else. As well as his disciples, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever shall live and believes on me shall never, never, never die. It's an amazing statement. Shall never die. Never die. Do you want to live? Do you want to live forever? Then believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And even as we preached last week, believe that God has raised him from the dead. Because in his resurrection from the dead, Jesus conquers death. He conquers the grave. Even now, before he died, he has the power and the authority to raise people from the dead. But when he dies, he goes further than that. He goes to satisfy the judgment of God against sinners, meaning our sins. The soul that sins shall surely die. He takes upon him the sins of his people, that is, many sinners, all kinds of sinners. And he takes their sins upon him, and he goes into the grave, he goes into the dead, as it were, and he endure God's wrath, endure his punishment. You heard this last week, but I'm not ashamed to tell you again. He endures the wrath of God. He goes into the grave. He rises from the dead, never, ever to die again. And that's why Jesus can say, I not only can raise the dead, I myself am the resurrection, because I am going to rise from the dead. And he is going to defeat sin. He's going to defeat the devil, and he's going to defeat the grave. The grave. Jesus, and only Jesus, has conquered the grave, having risen again from the dead, having died as a substitute for sin. Only Jesus. So, in our day, people have products. They're waiting for modern medicine to come up with some super pill or injection that will extend your life, to live a little bit longer, to make you look young again, the fountain of youth, and all these things. And people want to live long. But I tell you, the world, it's all vanity. You need to come to Jesus, and it is through Jesus that we live forever. It is through Jesus that we will live on, that we will overcome this world and death and sin and the grave. Now, I want you to see something else in this passage. Even though Jesus knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus, he loves people. He loves people. And I would say that he loves you. He loved a rich young man. And he told the rich young man what he must do to have eternal life. And even though Jesus loved that rich young man did not want to give up his riches. And he was sad, the rich young man, because Jesus said, if you would give up your riches, then you will have treasure in heaven. And that rich young man walked away sad. He didn't love Jesus the way Jesus loved him. That rich young man loved his money more than Jesus, and he would not give up his money. He says, I'm sorry, Jesus, I just cannot give up my money. And he walked away and he left Jesus, and the scripture says, and Jesus looked upon him and loved that man, but Jesus didn't go running after him. Jesus didn't say, hey, you misunderstood me. No, Jesus let the man go because he loved his riches. You don't want Jesus to let you go this morning because you love your sin. The Bible says repent. Turn away from your life. Turn away from your way of living, from your way of doing things. You don't want Jesus to just let you go. And the desire is that you would return, turn to him, and forsake all. But Jesus loved people. He loved Lazarus. Look at what we read here. Verse 32. Mary, therefore, when she came where Jesus was, now Mary, the other sister, came. Mary came, she saw where Jesus was, she saw him, fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping. Now, Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead. But Jesus, even though he knows what he's going to do, but when he saw her weeping, that got to Jesus. That affected him. And the Jews also weeping, not only her. Jesus gets closer to the scene. And what do we read? It says he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He groaned in his spirit. Now this word translated groaned, or he was moved in his spirit. This word has two type of things in it that's involved in it. There was anger. Jesus was angry. But he was not only angry, he had sympathy. He had compassion. He had these combination of these two emotions at the same time. And that's why it's translated, he was moved, or he was deeply moved. Or in my translation says, he groaned. He was angry. And he had this sympathy, this sorrow, this empathy when he saw the weeping. And you know, when you come into a room and you go into a funeral and there is weeping, and people are crying, and it touches you. Even if you see a movie and you see some scene and the acting is very good and person is weeping, and you start to weep just watching a movie. But here, Jesus saw her weeping. He loved Mary and Martha. He loved Mary, and it broke his heart to see Mary, his dear friend, weeping. And then Jesus saw the Jews weeping. And what was making him angry? Death. He was angry at death. He was angry at sin. He was angry at the way things were in the world. Because sin has come into the world, death has passed unto all men, and all of this weeping that is going on about him, his dear friend Martha and Mary and the Jews, and his dear friend Lazarus is dead, whom, yes, he's going to raise up. But he was affected by this. He groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. That word trouble means to shudder and to shake. He probably trembled a little bit. I mean, he was deeply affected by what he saw. He groaned in his spirit. And then he said, where have you laid him? He's angry. and yet he's full of compassion and sympathy. And now Jesus is ready. He wants to do something about this. And he is eager to raise up Lazarus from the dead, to turn their weeping into joy, to do something to turn the tide of this grief that has come upon the people. He groans in his spirit and he says, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then what do we read in verse 35? Then when Jesus comes to the tomb, that's about it. He's done. He's done. It says Jesus wept. You know an accurate translation of that? Jesus burst into tears. It wasn't that he was standing there and a little tear just kind of started to come down. He burst into tears. The Jews therefore said, "Behold how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man also should not die?" You see, there were those who hated Jesus, and Jesus could do nothing right. And they didn't care whether he groaned. They didn't care whether he wept. They wanted him dead. So there were those who hated him. But there are those who saw it and say, "Oh, how he loved him." Jesus groans in his spirit. Jesus burst out into tears. It broke his heart, this scene. It was grievous to him. And then what do we read in verse 38? Jesus therefore again groaned in himself, comes to the tomb. He groans again. This movement within his soul, you know, when you feel the pain and you feel this burning in your gut, like you may think you have an ulcer and you feel this surge within you, deep down within your soul, because you are grieved, you're troubled, you are stressed, you are angry, whatever it may be, and it just gets to you deep down inside, so much so you kind of have to hold yourself. It says Jesus groans within himself again. I want you to see the picture here and appreciate what's going on here. Verse 38. Then verse 39, Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time the body decay, for he had been dead 4 days." Again, there's no dispute. The man was dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you should see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. Think of the tears in his eye. Think of the groaning, the pain, the sorrow, the anger, the compassion, the empathy. He looks up into the sky with tears in his eyes, as it were. And he says, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I knew that you hear me always." You know, he prayed. You talked about his prayer life. He prayed always. "I know that you hear me always. But because of the multitude that stands around, I said it that they may believe that you did send me." You see, Jesus is desirous that people would believe him, that they would be saved. "I'm doing this that they may believe." And when he had thus spoken, he cried. He cried with a loud voice. Now, can you imagine? I can't even try to imitate. But can you imagine what that sounded like? Jesus cried with a loud voice. He didn't just say, "Lazarus, come forth." The anger and the sympathy and the groaning of his spirit, he burst out into tears. The tears was coming down to his face. "You will see the glory of God. Had I not told you this?" And then he looks up and he says, "Father, I know that you hear me always." And then he lifts up his voice. He cries out with a loud voice. And he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Can you imagine the emotion, the desire, the longing, the yearning, the joy that was in his heart to raise his dear friend Lazarus from the dead? He cries out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Many therefore of the Jews who came to Mary and beheld that which he did believed on him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Now again, you still are going to have people. You can hear a sermon. You can be there and watch Jesus raise the dead. But there are people who are blind, who hate Jesus. They still wanted to kill him. It didn't matter what he did. They wanted to kill him. And I want you to understand that even though the gospel is preached, there are those who still will not believe, who will still reject the gospel. And there are those who will still go in their way of rejection, of rebellion against God. That will continue to be the case. And there's nothing wrong with the gospel. It is a fact. Only God can open the eyes and change the heart. And although there will be those who will continue to reject and not believe, there will also be those who will believe. There will be those who will believe. Many, therefore, of the Jews who came to Mary beheld that which he did believe on him. So if you're wondering whether or not the gospel is true, and you're kind of doing a mental calculation saying, well, many people don't believe this, so I'm not really sure this is really true. And you kind of want to go in the middle ground and maybe go with the other people who don't believe. And you feel more comfortable. You're really not ready to stand out and stand for Jesus and maybe be persecuted and mocked and teased. And you're not ready to give up a lot of things for Jesus. And so you feel a little bit more comfortable and you say, maybe later, not now in my life. Don't be deceived by that. Because that broad road is the road that leads to destruction. And there will be many who don't believe. Just because people don't believe does not mean that the gospel is not true. There are many people who do believe. Because the gospel is true. And this gospel continues to be preached. It continues to be proclaimed. And it continues to be good news. And Jesus is at the throne at the right hand of God, seated in glory. And he's going to return again. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Lazarus did come forth, and all of this was a preview. Remember about preview? You look at the preview of a movie, a little preview. Raising Lazarus from the dead is a preview of what Jesus is going to do on the day of judgment when all that are in the tombs hear the voice of the Son of God, and he himself, 2,000 years ago, having risen from the dead. Jesus, he was angry at death. Death is described as the last enemy. It is an enemy. And we live in lives with the fear of death upon us. We don't want to die. We want to live. Our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only comfort is in Jesus. For those of you, and I know some of you, and there have been loved ones and brethren here who are no longer here who have gone to be home with the Lord when the believer dies. Their body goes into the grave, but their soul goes to be with God among the spirits of just men made perfect. Their soul is now perfected in glory. They are without their bodies right now. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. They're at home with the Lord. And Paul says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we that are remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air when the Lord returns. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The day is coming. And so even though the believer dies, and those who have died in the Lord, they are now living with God in heaven. Even though they die, yet shall they live. They continue to live. They're just not living here on earth. They're in the immediate presence of God in glory. They continue to live. And they're awaiting the day of that final day of judgment where all that are in the tombs will hear his voice, when their bodies shall be raised incorruptible and reunited with their glorified spirits in that day. And we will ever be with the Lord in glory in heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. That day is coming. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever believes on me shall never die. And now I come to the close of my sermon today. Do you believe this? That's what he said to Martha. Do you believe this? And I hope and my prayer is that you can say with Martha, yes, Lord. That is to the Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he that comes into the world. Children, believe it now. Don't worry about what other kids may say to you or what other young people may say about you. Jesus will be with you. Jesus will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will give you grace. He will sustain you, but he will give you joy. And most of all, he will give you that eternal life. So whether you die young, whether you die old, you know that you are going to be with the Lord. And brethren, times are changing, right? We're all getting older. We're getting weaker, getting more tired. The outward man decays, the Bible says. But brethren, let the inward man be renewed day by day. Renew the inner man by believing the gospel, by believing it all the more, and sharing that gospel as you have opportunity, but believing in Jesus as the resurrection and the life. You know, brethren, our best days are when Jesus returns. We have a vacation, we have retirement, planning on this and that, and so those are good days. And God gives us joys here on earth, but brethren, our best days is when Jesus will come and bring us with him into glory. Our best day, you know, the best day next to the day that God saved us will be the day when Jesus says, come, you blessed. Inherit the kingdom. You want to hear that? I want to hear that. Brethren, live for that. Prepare for that. Let the inward man be renewed in your faith. Believe the gospel. Trust in Jesus, regardless of what's going on around you and within you and how you feel and your fears and worries and anxieties. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He loves you. He sympathizes with you. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Believe him and trust in him. Be like Martha and Mary says, yes, Lord, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world. Brethren, all of our hope, our lives, everything that we hope for and our comfort, our joy, everything is bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Don't stop believing. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on living. Keep on walking. Keep on hoping. Keep on living to his praise and his glory. And may this day salvation come to this house. Let's pray. Our Father, we We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the gospel. That in this world of sin and darkness and corruption, we thank you, Lord, that the light of the gospel continues to shine. And may it continue to shine in our hearts. And we pray that all of our children would be saved, would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of those you would have elected would be here this morning. Lord, we ask that you would come. Lord, you groaned in your spirit when you were at the funeral of Lazarus. And Lord, we know you are the same. And you called forth Lazarus to come forth. And our Father, we ask, Lord, that you will call forth to every sinner here, everyone who has not yet believed, Lord, that you will call forth to that person that they would come forth out of their sin, out of their ignorance, and that they will come forth to believe upon you and to walk in the light. Lord, we thank you for this glorious gospel. And we ask that you will continue to encourage your people. Encourage us who may be grieving and sorrowful. Lord, that you would give us great and remind us of our hope. Lord, be merciful to us in our need. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.